Breakfast Club.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, a good Labor Day to you. I'm Bill Radke with news of a massive takeover bid this morning. The American food behemoth Kraft, maker of Oreos and Cheese Whiz and Kool-Aid and stuff, has offered nearly $17 billion for the huge British confectioner Cadbury. And Cadbury has said no thank you. Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, Bill.
What kind of deal is Kraft pitching here?
Kraft is offering a mixture of cash and shares for Cadbury, which looks pretty tempting on the face of it. It values Cadbury at about 31% above the stock market value of the company on Friday. And Kraft says this makes very good sense for Cadbury. It will enable the company to compete globally, especially in emerging markets. And Kraft says the deal would prevent some of the job losses in the UK that Cadbury has been contemplating. So some of the British workforce are going to find this deal rather appealing.
And yet Cadbury has declined. Why is that?
Well, all we know is that the board has emphatically rejected the bid when it was put to it last week. This is a very proud company, proud of its heritage. It was created in the 1820s by a Quaker family. It's proud of its independence and recent growth. I mean, with Mars, it's now one of the two biggest confectioners in the world. And financially, it seems to be in fairly good shape, too. So Kraft has a fight on its hands.
And how are the markets reacting to this?
Well, the markets seem very happy with it, and they seem to be expecting a rival bid. Cadbury's shares jumped this morning above the bid price, and shares in other confectionery companies moved higher too on expectations of further bid activity in this sector, a sector which analysts have been saying for some time is ripe for consolidation.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard, thank you so much.
Okay, Bill.
And now checking more European markets. Up healthily this morning, 1 to 2% and more. Asian markets jumped today as well, 1.5%. Wall Street's on holiday today, of course. On Friday, the Dow added 97 points and closed at 9,441. Scientists say greenhouse gases are not only warming the planet, but also making the oceans more acidic, threatening aquatic life and the livelihoods of commercial fishermen. Marsha Lynn reports from Homer, Alaska. A group of fishermen and other mariners gathered yesterday to send out an SOS.
A photographer shouts out instructions to the pilots of about 100 fishing and recreational boats preparing to form a giant SOS on Kachemak Bay. Scientists say as more CO2 is absorbed in the ocean, the water becomes more acidic. This makes it more difficult for shellfish to grow healthy shells and could in turn reduce populations of fish that depend on them for food, like salmon. About half the seafood produced in the U.S. comes from Alaskan waters, and more than 50,000 people make a living from the state's fisheries. One of them is Alan Parks. He says ocean acidification is a major concern for him and his family.
Basically, I've been making a living off the ocean for the past 30-some-odd years. The ocean provides clothing and food and shelter for my family. I'm intimately connected with it and the health of it.
Parks helped organize the event. Boats of all sizes steamed into place to form the massive SOS. A group of kayakers paddled into the center of the O to spell out the words, Acid Ocean. A photographer in a helicopter overhead snapped a series of pictures to record the event. In Homer, Alaska, I'm Marsha Lynn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
Life's been tough for a lot of industries lately, including publishing. But industry representatives say book sales are beginning to pick up again thanks to a little romance. Ekena Okobi reports from Washington.
April Lilly manages a Borders bookstore in downtown Washington, D.C. The store's neighbors are George Washington University, the World Bank, law firms, and think tanks. So people visiting the store are highly literate. Sure, political books are popular here, but she says romance readers are some of her best customers.
They come in quite often, and when they do come in, it's usually multiple books. You know, they'll come out with a big stack of books. But then the one thing about romance readers, they'll blow through that, and they'll be in the next week or 2 weeks.
Now, whatever you might think of the romance genre, Tina Jordan of the American Association of Publishers says its overwhelmingly female fans are the darlings of the publishing market and of discount chains like Target and Walmart. Jordan says women tend to shop for the family, but might pick up something for themselves while they're at it, especially when the books are right there by the cash register.
So when they're in Walmart, they might pick up a title then. They're also very loyal customers. They follow an author and have a very loyal fan base.
Women also recommend books to friends, and they're willing to try new authors. Diane Pershing is the president of Romance Writers of America. She says romance readers generate more than 50% of mass market paperback sales. According to her, the books are a necessary indulgence.
You might give up going and getting your hair streaked for $60, but you won't give up your $6.99 new Linda Howard.
Pershing says that women make most of the purchasing decisions in this country, so they drive sales of most household goods, and that includes books.
Honestly, don't dismiss women. Never dismiss women.
By the way, romance writer Linda Howard spent most of August on the New York Times bestseller list, along with 19 other romance writers. In Washington, D.C., I'm Ekenna Okobi for Marketplace.
We'd like to hear your story at our website. It's a forum, a place for our listeners to come together and talk about how they are thriving and making changes in this recession. We have a feature called Starting Over, and we'd like to hear your story of how this recession has forced you to come up with a new plan. We're at marketplace.org. A good Labor Day to you. I'm Bill Radke in Los Angeles.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.